Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous, rather than knowing Jesus. Well, the true purpose of the church is soul business, not sick business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? In the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
For the blood. How many of you know about the blood today? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Yes, God. Glory to God. Somebody praise him for the blood.
Somebody praise him for the blood, because the blood still works. His wonder working miraculous power in the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you saints of God, but if you're not on fire right now after hearing that song, I don't know what it would take to stir your cup. But I can tell you that the blood of Jesus has healed, set free, and delivered me, and it can do the same for you. Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Thank you so very much for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast. I am Pastor Sherelle Pennington, and I am live here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I am excited about being with you all here on the Light of Portland broadcast. I am excited that I am able to share with you on this evening. I am excited that the Lord is going to do great and mighty things through the man of God, that the word is going to come forth tonight on. And I am excited that God chose to wake each and every one of us up this morning, start us on our way. We are going to begin the service this evening. I want to give thanks, glory, honor, and praise to those who have allowed this platform to be in existence, and that would be none other than Bishop Ann and Stephen Butterfield from Light of the World Christian Tabernacle, and none other than Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and the association that Light. I want to give glory, honor, and praise to my very own sister, Pastor Kimberly Black, who is sailing the seas right now with her family on vacation. Let us pray for their safe travel and safe return, and also that they would have a marvelous time together with the family. And then thanking God that he gave me the vision, that he placed this baby in my bosom, and he allowed it to come full term and bring forth the souls that have just been changed, delivered, set free, and to those that consider Light of the Portland their own church. We give you glory, honor, and praise, and I just thank God that after all these years, we continue with the Light of Portland broadcast, and you all continue to support. So I am truly, truly grateful to each and every one of you, to every pastor, elder, minister, man and woman of God, bishop, that brings forth the word of God each and every Sunday evening on the Light of Portland. I am truly, truly grateful to every intercessory prayer warrior that brings forth prayer on the Light of Portland broadcast. Truly grateful to you. And I am truly grateful to each and every one of you that continue to not only listen in to Light of Portland, but share it one to another and give this information out so that all those that may not be able to enter the four walls of the church, or even those that just need a second service, for some of you a third one, we give God glory to you tonight. And so tonight we're going to begin our service with prayer. We do not have any announcements tonight. So if you do have announcements that you would like for us to announce here on the Light of Portland broadcast, I ask that you would email them to two places for me, because for the rest of this month, I will be your presider for the service. So I'm going to ask that you would email them to gsmbc@yahoo.com, gsmbc@yahoo.com. And then also to myself, which is Pastor Pennington, P-E-N-N, pennington at gmail.com, pastorpennington@gmail.com, and I will be for sure to get those announcements on the broadcast for you. And so we're going to begin our service with prayer. After we have prayer, there will be a song of preparation. Following that song of preparation, the voice that you will hear will be none other than Elder Wooten. We are so grateful to you, man of God, that you will be bringing the word of God tonight. We are so grateful for your pastor, the man of God, and we just pray that God will use you mightily. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. We lift you up and magnify you. We exalt you and praise your holy name, for you are truly Lord God, Savior, and Master. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that you've healed our bodies, oh God, that you've covered us with your blood, oh God, that you've taken everything that's crooked and have made it straight, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you will continue, oh God, to pour into us, oh God. We lift up Pastor Kimberly Black and our family, Lord God, and we ask that you would give them safe passageway, Lord God, as they travel, Lord God, and return them home safely, Lord Father. Lord, we lift up the sick and the shut-in unto you right now. As we lift them up, Lord God, let your mighty hand touch them, Lord God, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their very feet, oh God. And we lift up our children to you right now in the name of Christ Jesus, Lord. This world is going astray, Lord Father. This world tells them that everything that is not like you is right and everything that is of you is wrong, oh God. Help us to be examples to our children, Lord God. Help us, oh God, to be able to show them the way, the truth, and the light, and that they would come and begin to declare your holy name, Lord God, in their homes, oh God, in their schools, Lord God, on their jobs, oh God, to their friends, oh God, everywhere they go, let them begin to be lights and beacons, oh God, of your gracious love and your power, Lord Father. And now, right now, Father, we lift up our governmental system that is broken, Lord Father. We ask, oh God, in the name of Christ Jesus, that you would still use them, Lord God, for the upbuilding of your kingdom, that the decisions that they make, Lord God, would be decisions, oh God, that benefit your children, Father, that makes ways out of no ways, oh God, that allows us, oh God, to have another avenue to do whatever it is we need to do for your glory. Father, we lift up every church, Lord God, and we pray, oh God, over every man and woman of God that brings forth the word, oh God, and ask that you, Father, would begin, oh God, to bring in the souls into the household of faith, oh God. Draw them nigh unto you, Lord God. Help us to show ourselves friendly as the men and women of God. Help us to show ourselves full of love to those, Lord God, that don't know you, Lord God, to even those that serve other gods, that they must begin to say, what must we do to be saved, Lord Father? We pray right now, Lord God, over all those, oh God, that don't know how to call out your name, oh Father. Help them, oh God, to be drawn to you, Lord Father. Let us begin, oh God, to be able to set people on the path of righteousness, Lord God, because all we can do is lead them there, Lord God. You said that some will water and some would seed, but only you, God, can bring about the increase, Lord Father. So we pray for the increase, oh God. Your word even says, oh God, that there is plenty, Lord God, out there in the field, God, but that the laborers are few, Lord Father. So I pray, Lord God, for the current laborers, oh God. Continue to use them for your glory, oh God. Continue to have your way in them right now, Lord Father. Continue, Lord God, to give them just a little more, to go just a little bit further, oh God. Continue to hide your word in their hearts, oh God, that they would not sin against you, oh Lord. And then we pray, Lord God, for those that are on their way, Lord God. Have your way, oh God. Lead them in the direction, Lord God, that will lead them to the cross, oh God. We thank you for the Son that has sacrificed his life, oh God, that we, oh God, have another chance at life with you everlasting. And Lord God, we thank you for Holy Spirit, Lord God, that is ever present dwelling with us in the name of Jesus. And we pray, oh God, that you would allow Holy Spirit to have his way on the Light of Portland broadcast. We pray right now in the name of Christ Jesus, Father, that you would allow Holy Spirit, oh God, to be freely moving, oh God, as the word goes forth, God. We thank you for Elder Wooten, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word tonight, Lord God. We thank you, oh God, for the Light of Portland broadcast. We thank you, oh God, that you loved us enough, oh God, to allow our ears to hear, oh God, our eyes to see, oh God, and our hearts to be stirred with what you're going to say to us tonight. And we pray, oh God, that you would make us doers and not just hearers of your word, that we would run with it, oh God, that the vision would be made plain, oh God, and that we, oh God, would put faith to the vision that you have set forth. And now, Lord God, we give you all the glory. We give you, Lord God, all the honor, and we give you all the praise, for you are great and you are a mighty God, and there is none like you, O Lord. And so we praise you and we magnify you. In the name of Christ Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Oh Lord, I sin. Y'all give to me a hand, everyone. Thank you. Can everybody just lift your hand?
Yeah. Everybody say, Oh Lord, I sin, but you still call me my name. Yeah. Oh Lord, I sin, but you still call me my name.
How many of y'all really mean that tonight? Say it again.
Oh Lord, I sin, but you still call me my name.
This song is not for the perfect people.
Oh, Lord, I sin, but you're still calling my name. Elder Wooten, if you could press 1 on your phone so that I can bring you live on the air. Oh, Lord, I've sinned, but you're still calling my name. I turn the broadcast over to you at this time, Pastor Wooten, Elder Wooten.
Thank you, saints. Good evening, in the mighty name of Jesus from Portland, Oregon. To all of you who are listening to tonight's broadcast, I thank God for each and every one of you that you are here on this evening. Know that you are here on purpose and not by mistake. God doesn't do anything by mistake. And so we thank God for you and that you're able to tune in and catch a word from the Lord. I pray and hope that you have been blessed so far from the service. I pray that you already have been touched by the music, by the prayer, just by everything that has taken place so far. You know, there's just nothing it can compare to when your name is called by the Lord. You know, like that song that says this, I can hear you calling my name. See, when God calls you, He distinguishes you. He sets you apart. He has done it on purpose. He's already had a plan for you and a design for you. And if God has already called you, then that means that he has something that only specifically for you to do. And so sometimes we can get discouraged because we get hit from all sides by things that go on in and out of our lives. And sometimes we forget who we are. We forget whose we are. And we get lost and caught up in what we see instead of looking at the one that we don't see. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Let me say that again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. But sometimes because we're going through something physical, we can talk that talk. But then when it applies to us and it's time for us to walk the walk, then all of a sudden reality sets in and it gets to be a little bit more difficult. But the reason that it's difficult is because your faith is now in a place where you have to, as they say, put up or shut up. And so you can talk about that faith, but now you got to walk about that faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. And understand, beloved, that it doesn't matter what it is that you are facing. It doesn't matter what it is that you are going through. It doesn't matter what the challenges is that lie before you. It doesn't matter how impossible the situation may seem. We know that through God, all things are possible. And he said in the word, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. If you had faith as small as a mustard seed. Now, can you imagine if your faith is much greater than that, what it is that you could not do? You could turn around and you could put hands on somebody and they could be healed. You could turn around and speak things into existence and show people favor. You could turn around and be a blessing just by your presence of walking into the room. Hallelujah, somebody. See, when God has anointed you and called you. He sets you apart. But the problem is sometimes we get distracted by the ill wills of life. And when what I'm talking about is not just the things that we go through, but I'm talking about the very people that are around us when we're going through some of those things. See, sometimes you're going to have to shed some of the folks that are even around you that are in your circle. And some of those folks may even be family members. Some of those folks may be ones close to you. Some of those folks may be people that supposedly ride or died with you so far throughout your life. But when God is trying to elevate you and take you to another level, everybody can't come with you. Because what he has planned for you and your blessings and your rewards for you is not meant for everybody. Hallelujah, somebody. So tonight, tonight, I just want to give you a word tonight out of the book of Genesis, 37th chapter, looking at the 5th through 11th verse, and then we're going to touch a little bit on Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and then Exodus. Chapter 3, but we're going to base everything off of Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11. And in this text, you will find that this is where a young man by the name of Joseph was given a gift by his father and how he reacted to that gift, but and not only his reaction, but how his reaction also caused those around him to react to the gift that was given to him. But understand, beloved, that the gift that was given to him, God had already had a plan and a design that this gift would just reveal what God was already planning for this young man's life. But yet, sometimes people don't always see what God is showing you. And so things that he revealed to you, he doesn't necessarily reveal to everyone. Because, again, they may not be at your level. They may not be on the same level, or it just may not be for them to see what God is revealing to you. And so we have to learn in life, beloved, that there are people out there that have dreams that have not fulfilled their dreams because somebody told them they wasn't good enough. That we have people out there that wanted to do something or be something or accomplish something. They wanted to go somewhere. They wanted to try something, but they got discouraged because of seeing somebody maybe that was better than them, hearing somebody that was better than them, or somebody telling them that they didn't have the necessary tools that they needed to reach where they wanted to reach. Beloved, let me tell you tonight, if you don't do anything else, turn to somebody around you and tell them these words. Say, stop letting the blind proofread your vision. Stop letting the blind proofread your vision. Now turn to somebody else and tell them the same thing. Stop letting the blind proofread your vision. See, there are people out there that they don't see what God sees in you. And as that song that I was listening to earlier today by Brother Sapp, Warren Sapp, he saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Sometimes folks doesn't see what God wants to show you, what God is revealing to you, because God has called you to a greater purpose. And so in this story here, we see in verse 5, this young man come to his brothers, and he begins to share to with them a dream that he had. And it said, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will you and will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers was jealous of him because his father kept, but his father kept the matter in hand. Beloved, stop letting the blind proofread your vision. I wish I had time. I wish I had time. Listen to me. Stop letting people tell you what you cannot do when God has either showed you or God has instilled in you the gift to be something greater than what's around you, to be able to see further than those around you can see, to be able to do more than what those around you can do. Stop letting people tell you what you can't do when God says that you can. Because if God has brought you to a challenge, God will give you every tool and every ability that you need to overcome that challenge. He's already saw things that nobody else saw. He already knows things that nobody else knows. He knows how to bring you out of something, how to put you into something, how to place you above it, underneath it, wherever he needs to give you to make sure that you have success. God doesn't set you up to fail. He only allows you to be able to go through trials and tribulations so that you can grow through what you go through. Let me say that again. God will allow you to go through different trials and tribulations so that you can grow through what you go through. So stop letting the blind proofread your vision. Because people don't understand what God may be doing in you. That is between you and God. And so Joseph had this dream, and while he didn't understand what was going on, he kind of told this dream, and he kind of told it a little bit boastfully, but that was kind of a sign of his youth where God still was teaching him and was still stretching him and for him to still learn. But Joseph wasn't wrong in what he was talking about. Because as the story goes on, we do find that the brothers, because of their jealousy of their younger brother Joseph, because of the favoritism that the father showed to this younger brother because he was born of a different mother than the rest of them were, and so they turn around and they despised him because when they were made to go out into the fields and work, he was held back for studying and doing things that the father had. So they already had some animosity, if you will, toward him. See, you got to be aware of your surroundings and people around you. There are people around you at work that might be upset because you are having success or because the boss and the supervisors and the managers are showing you favor because you work hard, because you have shown promise, and so therefore they get jealous and they get upset because of where you are, and so they despise you and they just can't wait for your downfall. Maybe it's not a work, maybe it's school. Maybe you in school and you're going through the same thing, as that somebody sees your gifts and your abilities, and because they don't have the gifts and your abilities or because they're looking at how you dress and they're not dressed as well, and all of a sudden they become jealous and envious and want to come after you and attack you. See, this is how the enemy likes to work, because he only attacks those that he knows will be effective for the kingdom of God. And so if God has called you out, he has set you apart. And if he has set you apart, God has set you up. And if God has set you up, God will fulfill what he has called you to do and set you for that success, because God doesn't know how to fail. Amen, Walls. God doesn't know how to disappoint. God doesn't know how to leave you high and dry. He will always be there. He said, I would never leave you nor forsake. He said, he will always give you everything that you need. God, Jesus told his disciples that in this life they would have trials and they would have tribulations and they would go through these trials and tribulations, but take heart. See, you have to take heart because we know whose we are. We know who we serve. See, you need to learn to go to the throne before you go to the phone. You need to learn to dial and talk to him up above instead of him that's across the street or around town or instead of somebody in another state. You need to learn to talk to God first. See, if we develop regular habits of making sure that it is like automatic second nature that when we go through something, you automatically talk to God. Even when somebody says something raunchy to you, somebody cut you off when you're driving, somebody turn around and say something mean to you when you're walking down the hall, or somebody's giving you a dirty look for no unknown reason, you need to start talking to God, even in your mind, because the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. You ain't got to close your eyes all the time and turn around and pray. God hears you everywhere you are. He hears your heart when you're talking to him. And when you are talking to him, God will answer you. Lord, help me to not answer no foolishness. Lord, help me to not respond to nobody's ignorance. Lord, help me through this day. Give me what I need. See, you got to be able to talk and exercise the power that God has given to you and put inside of you so that you can grow what it is that God is taking you through, because God is stretching you for the things that he desires for you. See, people cannot see you as God sees you. God did not call us to be perfect, but he called us to be available. One faith, one message. Did you hear that? One faith, one message. He wasn't calling Joseph to be perfect, but he was calling Joseph to be available. He wanted Joseph to be available. And because of that young man's faith, he would go through some stuff where his brothers would sell him into slavery, and they would get rid of him because of their jealousy and their enviousness of him. But yet, God turned around and said he saw what they were doing, but he said to Joseph, he said, be still and know that I am God. Because he turned around and he knew that he had a special mission for Joseph, because God can see further than we can see, and God can do more than we can do. We have to learn to trust God even when we cannot see the end of the road. You see, God will sometimes tell you to you at the road, and God turn around when you come to that fork, he tells you to take the road to the right. You looking at the road to the left, and you driving this new fancy car that you just got. You just came from the car wash, and you cleaned it up, and you shined it up with Armor All, and you turn around, and you vacuumed it out, and you got it spotless, spick and span. And all of a sudden, you come to this fork in the road, and you see the road to the left, and it is paved. It is like new pavement, new road, and you're ready to take that road. But then God says, no, take the road to the right, not the road to the left. Take the road to the right. And you sitting there going, but wait a minute, God, wait a minute. The road to the left is paved, but the road to the right, I'm looking at it, there's gravel. I just got through cleaning my car. That road is gravel. But God said, take the road to the right. And so some of you turn around and says, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to take that road to the left. And but yet others turn around and say, well, Lord, you know what? This is where that faith gets put into action. And when that faith gets put into action, then that faith requires movement, and that faith requires you to do something. What is this faith I'm talking about? Hebrews 11, chapter 11 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, this is what the ancients were commanded for. He said, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Y'all don't hear me, somebody. He said, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. He said, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he would not experience death. He said, by faith, Noah, when warned about these things, not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark. Come on, somebody. See, when you build a boat in the middle of a desert and people are laughing and mocking at you and ridiculing you because they can't see the vision that God has given you and they can't see where God is designed to take you, and all of a sudden they laughing and they mocking you and calling you names and trying to tear you down, just hold on, beloved. Hold on, because God says he is not done yet. I look to the hill from whence cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. See, this is where God may sometimes, he might put a song on your heart and let you start to be able to sing, and that song reminds you of his promise in his word. And then all of a sudden you get encouraged in your spirit and you can keep going a little bit further. All of a sudden somebody might come to you and say a word or ask to just pray with you just out of the blue, because God will send that angel to you because he knows exactly what your breaking point is and what you need, beloved. And you just need to listen to what God is telling you. You see, and God will send you these subliminal messages and tools with whatever he needs, because he said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But sometimes we get distracted and we want to let the blind proofread our vision, and then we want to go off of what they don't see because they don't see it, and we act on according to what it is that they don't see. But, beloved, when God says take the road to the right instead of the road to the left, he knows what he's talking about. Because down that gravel road, when you go around the bend on that gravel road, about a quarter of a mile down the road, as the road begins to peak up the hill and go over the hill, it becomes a smooth paved highway, and it's a three-lane road, and you on your way. But you have to go through the gravel sometimes to get through to the paved highway. But see, you want to go through the paved highway because what is glittering, you think is gold, and what looks good, you think is perfect. But what you didn't see on the other side of the bend as the road bent around before you could turn around and hit your brakes was that the bridge was wiped out. And if you turn around and you took the road to the left and that was paved, that looked like it was perfect, you would have turned around and ran off into the river, and it would have been over and end of story. You see, that's why you can't let the blind proofread what God has given you, because when God calls you, he'll set you apart. And when he sets you apart, he sets you out, and God does not make mistakes. God doesn't know how to make mistakes. And let me give you another example real quick here. Over in Exodus chapter 3 at the 12th verse, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. See, he was talking to this gentleman named Moses. See, Moses had the stuttering problem. Moses couldn't always articulate what it was that he was thinking. See, he was thinking faster than his mouth could turn around and deliver it. And so Moses said, even to the Lord, when he spoke to him in the burning bush, he said, Lord, how can I do this thing? I'm not eloquent of speech. He said, Lord, you want me to go and tell this man Pharaoh to let your people go? He said, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. Did you hear that? See, beloved, you got to understand that God does not change. I'm getting excited. God does not change simply because of your circumstances or your situation. He said, I am who I am, and what I am is more than enough. I have more than you need to overcome. I am more than sufficient enough than what your adversity is. I can take you places that you didn't even think you could go. I can bring you out of circumstances that you didn't think was possible. I can stop stuff that you thought could not be moved. I can turn around and move obstacles that you thought would permanently stay in place. God says, I am who I am, and he is who he is. And he told us in his word, you see, you need to allow yourself to trust God even when you cannot see the end of the road. You see, take the road, the right unpaved road, and understand this, beloved, is that God can see things that you cannot see because you have a limited vision. As you looking straight ahead, you can only see what's in front of you so far, but you can't even see what's behind you until you turn around and you look back behind you. But when you're looking back behind you, you are now blinded to the things that are in front of you. But see, God is looking down from above. He can see in front of you, behind you, to the left of you, to the right of you. So when God tells you to go right, you go right. You don't question God. You just do what he says, because by faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if God has brought you to it and given you a vision to do something great, then trust in God's vision. Trust that God is going to set you apart. Trust that God has already gave you everything that you need. Trust that God has already called you out. Trust that God has already made you to have success that he has designed for you to have, because God doesn't know how to fail. He doesn't know how to disappoint. He doesn't know how to not show up. He doesn't know how to leave you all by yourself. Come on, somebody. You may hear me, beloved. Stop letting the blind proofread your vision. Take off those clothes when you are dead to self. You see, we get so stuck into where we used to be. We get so stuck into where we are. We see the physical on what we see. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Just because you cannot see it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. If God said that it was going to happen, it's going to happen. Jesus looked at the tomb, and he told him, he said, remove the stone. Remove the stone. Master, it surely must be a stench up in there. And he didn't care about no stench. He said to remove the stone. When they removed the stone, he looked up, and he gave God some glory and prayed to God, and then he spoke in a loud voice. He didn't speak in a trembling voice. His voice wasn't weak. There was no doubt in his voice. He spoke with power and authority, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And this man came out, and he told him, take off the grave clothes. See, some of you are still walking around in the grave clothes. You still walking around even when God has called you out. You still walking around in the grave clothes, and you listening to people that want to kill your vision. You listening to people that want to kill the process of what God has set apart for you. Take off them grave clothes and put on the grace clothes, because the grace is more than sufficient, more than enough to keep you, as Romans 6, 19 and 23 tells us. But you need to understand that it is impossible to be neutral. A Christian is not someone who cannot sin, but someone who is no longer a slave to sin. Come on, somebody, you don't hear me. A Christian is not someone who cannot sin, but someone who is no longer slave to sin. He didn't call you to be perfect, beloved. He called you to be available. God has called you and set you apart. And yes, weeping may endure for a night, but believe me, joy comes in the morning. There are things that you cannot see that you don't understand. But let me tell you something. If you just learn to look to the hills from whence cometh your help, then you learn to call out on his name no matter what it is. God will turn around and show you stuff that you have never seen, put you in places that you never thought was was possible, elevate you to levels that you didn't even think that you could reach, and turn around and put your enemies at your footstool, and they will turn around and envy look at you. And those that turn around that was doubting, they'll be just like Thomas when he walked through the door, and he turned around and he told Thomas, he said, touch here and touch here, touch my side, touch my hands. He said, now stop doubting and believe. See, some people got to see before they follow and they hear. But I know that he says in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, because in all your ways, if you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. And if you give God the glory, if you give God the praise, if you give God what is due him, you cannot go wrong and will not fail. You will not taste defeat. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he brings us, as Jesus said, I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Eternal life is a gift. It is not something that we earn, nor something that we can pay back. But it was freely given to us. It's hard to lead people to Christ when we are the ones on display. Don't be like that young Joseph, boastful and prideful about what God said that he called you out for. But do it with humility and understand that God has set you apart. But always show humility to those around you so that you can lead more of them to Christ. See, Joseph was perceived as immature and boastful, but people can read us in other ways that we don't intend. So we need to be careful what we are showing to people, what people are seeing in us. I pray and hope that this word is a blessing to somebody this evening. I pray and hope that this word was able to find somebody and uplift you this evening, and that it will just carry you through. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Elder Wooten, for reminding us that we need to make sure that our words are seasoned with the grace of God and covered with the blood of Jesus, so that those things that we do and those things that we say, we as a being, a witness, and a light can be received. And the gift that God has given to us, we need to allow it to come to full maturity before we bring it forth. And so I give glory and honor and praise to you tonight, and I thank you so much for the word, and I pray that those of you have heard will take a mental note and check yourself. We need to do that. We need to check ourselves to make sure that we are being light and witnesses and not being stumbling blocks, because God desires to use each and every one of us. Those of us that think that God could never use us, I'm here to tell you tonight that you're here with purpose to be used of God, just like he used Joseph, just like he used Moses. God is wanting to use you. Be available to him and allow the dreams that he's given you to grow and become matured so that it can be the blessing that God has called it to be. Thank you so much for the word of God tonight. Thank you for all of you that have tuned in. I give glory, honor, and praise for each and every one of you. I pray that every one of you has confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he died, that he rose, and that he resurrected and went to heaven and now sits on the right-hand side of the Father, and that he allowed the Holy Spirit to come to dwell within each and every one of us. When we believe those things, we become saved, and no devil in hell can take our salvation, or man on earth can remove it from our heart, that we are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Lord will bless each and every one of you. I pray that the Lord would keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you, giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. I give glory and honor to you. Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I pray that you would tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell someone that the Light of Portland is on every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, until next Sunday, Saints of God, I love you, I love you, I love you, and there's nothing you could do about it. Good night.
Talk to you again. I've had so many chances before, but I was busy doing other things, trying to write my own story, but I'm quickly realizing that I am only the paper. And you are the pen, so author, write me better, harder, mold me better, construct. Please.